I didn't even deserve it. That's the stupid thing. Everything that went down... Gah, I cringed at my unfortunate choice of words. Between Dash and me was voluntary. I wasn't even drunk. Not very, anyway. This explanation did not seem to appease Andy. When I looked up, his face was still full of concern. I hadn't meant to talk about this tonight, or maybe ever, and certainly not with him. And now he'd know that he was on a date with someone who was crazy pants. I took one more deep breath of cold air, which helped. A little. Okay, I broke up with him because he didn't seem all that interested in me as a person. All he wanted to do was play video games with his brothers, but I was supposed to just hang around and watch until bedtime, like a good little woman. Charming. I know, right? In my defense, I realized pretty quickly that he wasn't worth the effort, and I told him we were through. What I might have added was the fact that Dash didn't seem very broken up about losing me, and that should have been a big clue, but I'd missed it. The story should have ended there, because my instinct about him had been dead on, but it didn't end there. And that's why I'd been hearing a chant playing inside my head all week, and the mantra was, stupid, stupid, stupid. Andy was watching me with patient eyes, waiting for an explanation. It was silent there on the porch, and somehow I kept talking. So last week I went over to the Beta Row house for a few minutes, just to drop off a bin of Christmas decorations for tonight. It was quiet there that night, the usual video games but no party. I'd been telling this part of the story to my shoes, but now I looked up to find Andy watching me. God, this was going to be embarrassing. That night, for the first time, he made a big effort to talk to me. You know, the full court press. Andy smiled at my basketball reference, but he didn't say a word. He got me a glass of wine and asked me a lot of questions about my classes and pledging tri-sci, and... I rolled my eyes. Ugh, I just sort of fell under the spell. He was so sweet and patient, telling me how much he missed me.
So far so good, Andy pressed. What went wrong?
Yikes. I hadn't told a soul about this, not even my roommates. And tomorrow I would probably regret telling Andy. I really didn't need even more people to know this story. But I was angry, and I wanted someone to know what pigs they were. Okay. He played me like a hand of poker. I sighed. After my second glass of wine on an empty stomach, and 2 hours of heavy flattery, he wanted me to come upstairs with him. Fool that I am, I went. I looked down at the porch floorboards again. He took me into one of the brothers' rooms, and we... I cleared my throat. We fooled around a little bit. Andy dropped his voice.
But you didn't want to.
He was about to get the wrong idea. That's not it. See, I didn't mind at the time. I didn't start feeling bad about it until 2 days later. But that night, I heard some voices in the hall. I heard a couple of the brothers laughing, but the door was shut, and I didn't think anything of it.
Oh, shit, Andy whispered.
I looked up quickly, catching a wince on his face. What? He closed his eyes for a long moment, and when he opened them, he said,
Please tell me that this was not a hole-in-the-door situation.
My stomach dropped. Was I the only one on the planet who didn't know any better than to fall for Beta Rho's pledge ritual? Slowly, I nodded. Andy's face sagged. Apparently, it's not. I tried to say this with nonchalance, but I don't think I pulled it off, because my eyes began to sting. And that was no good, because, you know, mascara. Carefully, I pressed my fingertips against my tear ducts. I wouldn't have even known, except that I overheard a couple of them talking about it. I was studying at one of those carrels in the stacks. Have you been up there? Andy nodded. There were 12 floors of books, and each floor had a row of old oak study desks with little walls attached. When you really needed to study, as opposed to picking somewhere with good people watching, the stacks were the place to go. I heard these two guys carrying on, and I was going to walk over there and complain, but then I heard them say his name. I swallowed then, and my throat was thick. So I listened, and one of them had been in the hallway that night. He was telling the other one exactly what he'd seen. I had to stop there. Not only did I not want to speak about the details,
I didn't want to think about them either. When you're getting busy with somebody, you do not want to spend your time wondering what the expression on your face looks like when you're giving a... God, just shoot me. I cleared my throat. So, thanks to me, Dash's place in the pledge class is secure. I'd come to the end of being able to talk about this nightmare. Andy pressed the fingertips of both hands against his brow, as if he had a sudden pain there. He earned pledge points for letting the other guys watch. He let out an angry noise. That's disgusting. When he said that, the weight of my outrage grew a little bit lighter. All week I'd been carrying this embarrassing secret around, and it was awfully heavy. The sound of Andy's displeasure made me feel as if I'd just handed off a portion of my anger, letting someone else carry it for a moment instead. I'm still an idiot, I said, because it was true. No. Shit, no. That is the lowest of the low. That is... Andy took in a deep, slow breath and let it out again. You know all those brochures about consent that the college passed out during the first week of school? Sure. They were pretty funny, actually. My roommates and I had a few giggles reading the flyers out loud to one another. Some genius had written out a script for hookups that was supposed to guarantee that both parties had consent for every sexual act. So the bullet points read like a porn film. Do you want me to put my hand here? Does it feel good when I do this? Can I touch you here? As funny as that was, it didn't really apply. But I consented. Andy shook his head. No, you didn't. Because if you had, you wouldn't feel afraid to go in there right now. He jabbed a finger toward the door. I had absolutely no response to that, except that the pressure in my chest loosened another percentage point or two. Andy didn't wait for a reaction from me, though. He was on a roll. I mean, forget common decency. Don't any of them have sisters? God. At least there wasn't any evidence, I said quietly. When I was eavesdropping, I actually heard the brother who wasn't there ask if there were pictures, and the other one said no, because that would make it into a code violation. How thoughtful of them to avoid violating the code, Andy spat. Are you going to report it anyway? That was something I'd thought about all week. It's not like I don't feel the urge, but as far as I can tell, they didn't break any rules, let alone laws, so it would be a waste of time. Not to mention that everyone would know how stupid I was. Andy moved fast then. He stepped forward to wrap his arms around me, giving me a quick, fierce hug. You weren't stupid. Trusting, maybe. But that's supposed to be a good thing to be. I was too shaken up to decide whether or not he was right. But I did notice that Andy gave first-rate hugs. Those long arms were good for something besides dunking basketballs, I guess. Come to think of it, he was probably only hugging me for warmth. We'd been out here a while, and I had his jacket on. I'm sorry to dump this on you, I said into his shoulder. He released me, stepping back. Sorry it happened to you. Want to go home? You don't owe it to him to be civil. But I can't avoid him for 4 years, and it's not just him. I don't know who was standing on the other side of that door, so I don't even know who to avoid. I'm lucky it's not on the front page of the New York Times. Mom was right. Andy stuffed his hands into his pockets and began pacing the porch. She wasn't, though. I don't think your mom has thought that through.
What do you mean?
He stopped walking and turned to me.
We all do things that we don't want to see in a newspaper. I mean, she probably has sex with your father, right?
Ew. He grinned.
Sorry, but you get my point. She doesn't want that pictured in the Times, even though there's nothing wrong with it. And you didn't do anything remotely wrong, either. At the risk of sounding very pre-law, you have a reasonable exception of privacy if you follow a guy into his room to...
He broke off the sentence, and there was an awkward pause. Put some lipstick on his dipstick, I supplied. And then I laughed. I actually laughed about my nightmare. Because now that I was breathing just a little bit easier, I could see how freaking ridiculous the whole thing was. And humiliating. But still, funny in a way. God, I was probably losing my mind. But I'd made Andy's lips twitch too with my crude description of what had happened. He was trying not to laugh now, but sometimes holding it back only makes it worse. Go on, I told him. We might as well laugh about it. It's either that or crying.
He let a chuckle escape.
You want me to punch him for you? I've never won a fight in my life, but this seems like a good cause.
Well, okay, I teased. So long as you think a trip to jail is a good use of the rest of your night. He grinned.
With my luck, it would be a trip to the hospital, and then a trip to jail. But seriously, I have two sisters. The thought of someone doing that to you makes me want to deck him.
That's really... I swallowed hard. Thank you. I needed to hear someone say that. I've spent the week telling myself, hey, it's just sex, right? No big deal. But I'm embarrassed. And it's not the same as if we were fooling around and somebody walked in by accident.
Of course it's not the same. Intentions are everything.
As he said this, I saw him shiver. Come on, I said suddenly. Here I'd been struggling to find a reason to go back inside the house, but there was a perfectly good one standing right in front of me. I opened the door. You're going to freeze and catch pneumonia and miss our art history exam. And then I won't have anyone friendly to sit next to, so we're going back in.
If you're ready, he said.
I'm as ready as I'll ever be. I took Andy's cold hand in mine and pulled him inside. There was nobody in the parlor anymore. Keeping hold of Andy's hand, I tugged him through the room and into the big old sunroom. In front of us rose a giant Christmas tree with about a million white lights on it. And now I understood why the girls put the tree in here. Those million lights were reflected in the many window panes which circled the room. Lifting my chin, I gazed up at it, unblinking. I'd done this ever since I was a child. I'd stare at the lit Christmas tree until my vision went slightly askew, and the lights blurred before my eyes. The tree was even more beautiful when you didn't focus on each pinprick of light, but saw the whole thing at once.
Nice, Andy whispered beside me. The kids at your party tomorrow will love it.
I hope so. Otherwise, those three cases of our beer that the betas drank went to waste. My date snorted, and I squeezed his hand a little tighter. Of course, I couldn't stare at the tree forever, or cling to Andy. Eventually, I had to look around, and even make eye contact. And it wasn't going to get any easier if I put it off. The brave thing to do would be to just say hello to Dash and his stupid friends, as if nothing had happened. They'd forget about the little show I'd put on eventually, right? Gah. Okay, deep breaths.
Let's get you another drink, I suggested. I know I could use one.
Still clutching Andy's hand like a security blanket, I steered the two of us over to a table against the wall. I had to let him go to pop the tops off of two bottles of Moosehead Lager.
I like this beer, Andy said, taking his. Thanks.
I took a swig of mine. Maybe a beer or 10 was the right way to go. Tonight I couldn't exactly get wasted to dull the pain, and not because I'd worried that Andy would take advantage of me. It was just the opposite. Poor Andy had already shored me up once tonight. He didn't need the trouble of escorting a drunk girl home, even if I did feel like getting numb. Now, at close range, I heard a familiar chuckle. Steeling myself, I turned. And there he was, a beer in hand, grinning at his pledge brothers. Dash's eyes slid in my direction. They seemed to lock on me for a nanosecond, then jumped to Andy. Then, just as quickly, they slid away. Okay, that wasn't so bad. I was just about to exhale when the guy beside Dash elbowed him, a knowing smirk on his face. Lowering his beefy head to Dash's ear, he said something which made my ex-boyfriend grin. My pulse kicked up, and I felt hot all over. Maybe I couldn't do this after all. Maybe I should duck out of a party for the first time in my entire freaking life, and then transfer to another college, on another continent. That sounded like a plan. Turning my back, I squeezed past Andy and out through the door we'd come in not 5 minutes ago. I trotted across the parlor, skidding to a stop in front of the fireplace. Meanwhile, my heart bounded along inside my chest like a cartoon rabbit. Shit, I whispered to myself. I heard footsteps, and a few seconds later, Andy appeared at my elbow.
Forget something? He teased,
but I saw worry in his face. Looking down into the fireplace embers, I tried to think. They're probably laughing at me right now.
They're not, he said. I overheard them talking about hockey, actually.
Figures. That's all they live for. Games. They made my life into one of their crude little games. Andy made an irritated noise.
They did. And that sucks.
He acted like a pig, I said. He is a pig. But what would make you feel better? An apology?
I considered that idea. I want him to wear a t-shirt every day for a week that reads, I am a pig.
Andy laughed. You should consider law school, Katie. You'd make an interesting judge.
I looked up at him then, and his warm brown eyes were smiling at me again. That's just the sorority girl solution, Andy. Haven't you heard the joke? How many sorority girls does it take to screw in a light bulb? He cocked his head like a puppy.
How many?
Six. One to change the light bulb, and five to make the t-shirts. He touched his empty beer bottle to mine.
Good one, sister. Is there a frat version of that joke?
Sure. It takes 11 frat boys to screw in a light bulb. One to hold the bulb, and 10 to drink enough that the room starts spinning. He gave me the hot smile again.
You are a total hoot when you're stressed out.
Why, thank you. I'm almost as fun when I'm not stressed out. But of course he wouldn't know that, because tonight he was keeping company with a total head case. I have to walk back into that room. The only alternative is transferring to a school in South America, or Europe. I hear Spain is nice this time of year.
Andy winced. They made your visit to their house into a game. But it was a game you didn't know you were playing. And now you're supposed to go in there and be social, and pretend like it never happened. Another game.
And not neem in the balls or throw up. Yes. He set his empty beer down on the mantelpiece, which is probably exactly what that space had been used for since the beginning of time.
So maybe what you need to get through the next half hour is one more game. A harmless one, though. You and I can play a game with them, only they won't know they're playing.
Now I was lost. What game?
Well,
he tapped a finger on the mantel.
We'll try to get each guy to say the name of an animal in conversation.
An animal?
Sure, that's what you called him. And if you're focused on that, you won't stop to worry whether they're looking at you funny.
Andy, they will be looking at me funny, because I'm going to have some pretty weird conversations to get an animal name out of them. He just grinned.
Who cares? I'll be doing it too. For points. Whoever gets the most animals wins. And no repeats.
It was the most ridiculous idea I'd ever heard, and maybe the most brilliant.
So this is competitive? Unless you're afraid to take me on.
I giggled. Please. Sorority girls are made for this game. I'm a Division I small talk champion. Bring it, basketball dude. And maybe I can get Dash to say the word pig, since he is one. His eyebrows shot up.
That's a good twist, honestly. It's like a trump card. A trump animal.
Right. If I get Dash to say pig, I win automatically.
He doesn't have, like, a pet pig that I don't know about. Am I being gamed, Missy?
I shook my head. If either one of us can get anybody to say pig, we win. So it's a little like catching the golden snitch.
Okay, I'm in. But they have to say pig. And not some similar word. Because how hard would it be to get a frat boy to talk about how much he likes bacon?
Good rule. Should we shake on it? With a smile, Andy offered me his hand. When I took it, we shook. Then he pulled me in for one more quick hug, which lasted only a fraction of a second.
Remember, scoop is still the escape word.
Oh, I remember, I told him. But now I want to win this thing. He gave me a gentle shove toward the porch.
Lead on, then. But you should know that I won't let you win. You're going to have to earn it.
Do you always talk smack before a game? I asked him. Now I was actually flirting with him. If you'd asked me 2 hours ago if I'd find the energy to flirt tonight, I would have said you were crazy.
Basketball is at least 50% smack talk, the way my team plays anyway.
He gave me one more of his killer smiles, and together we headed back in there.
Chapter 5. Andy. Katie's step had a new swagger as she marched back into the party. She stopped to shed my sport coat, handing it over without a word. Then she squared her bare shoulders as if going into battle. A really sexy battle. I shrugged the jacket on, then stooped to pick up the pink basketball I'd been playing with earlier. It had been abandoned in a corner. Tucking it under my arm, I followed Katie into the party, where one of the Beta Rho brothers was standing in front of the drinks table opening beers. Katie asked him to pop one open for me.
Sure thing, cutie, he said.
That would be Katie,
my date corrected. her voice frosty.
Right, just like I said.
The guy opened another bottle of beer and handed it to me. I like this lager, I said, holding up my bottle. I don't think I've had it before.
It's all right, he said with a half shrug. I think we started buying Moosehead because our treasurer's Canadian.
Ah, I said, reaching over to give Katie's elbow a meaningful squeeze. The game wasn't even a minute old, and I'd already scored a point with Moose. Katie's eyebrows shot upward, then she grabbed my hand and tugged me over to her side. Standing on tiptoe, she admonished me in a low voice.
That was clever, tall man, but it was low-hanging fruit. Don't get too used to winning.
I took the risk of putting a hand onto one of her deliciously bare shoulders and leaned down toward her ear.
You talk a big game, lady, but I don't see any action.
Her eyes flared then, and she stood up a little straighter and stalked toward her friend Amy, who was chatting with two fraternity brothers beside the tree. Katie was a smart girl. She'd picked a target-rich environment. I followed, dodging a few people. The party was in full swing now. All the work had stopped, and guys and girls stood around in twos and threes drinking beer and munching Christmas cookies. Katie's eyes were darting around the room, as if she were looking for something. But what? I'd already clocked Dash, her ex, and who calls himself Dash, anyway, about 10 feet from Katie. Then I saw her swoop down and gather something up. When she stood up again, there was a sparkle in her eye, and a cat in her arms. She gave me a victorious glance, then tossed all that gleaming hair over her shoulders. I maneuvered closer to her so that I could hear whatever went down. Katie waited for a pause in Amy's conversation with the two beefy guys before her.
Careful,
Amy said, turning to Katie.
Mr. Whiskers is going to scratch your dress.
He wouldn't dare,
Katie said.
Cats like me.
With an innocent face, she looked up at one of the guys in front of her.
How do you feel about cats?
I'm more of a dog person, he said, swigging his beer.
Are you now?
Katie said, throwing a meaningful glance over her shoulder at me. She bent her knees to release the cat. Mr. Whiskers disappeared under the Christmas tree. Then Katie gave a big sneeze.
Excuse me a moment, she said.
I followed as Katie made a beeline for a box of tissues on a side table.
I'm allergic to cats,
she said, blowing her nose.
But that was totally worth it.
So you threw yourself on the sword for that point?
I did,
she agreed, blowing her nose. Well, as Teddy Roosevelt said, greatness is the fruit of toil and sacrifice and high courage.
God, I was such a dork.
But Katie was still smiling, so it didn't really matter.
I'm winning this thing, she said.
You're tying this thing. The score is 1-1, smack talker. With a fiery look at me, one which I felt in some very inappropriate places, she marched off again.
Chapter 6. Katie. The room was more crowded tonight than I'd anticipated. Everyone was taking this last opportunity to have a beer with friends before we all hunkered down for exams. As I waded back into the thick of things, I was halted by the sight of a girl's limbs wrapped around Dash. That was fast. Peeking through the boughs of the Christmas tree, I snuck a closer look. When the girl shifted her face from one side of him to the other, I recognized her. Debbie Dunn. She wore an unhealthy amount of eye makeup and was staring up into Dash's face and practically rubbing her boobs on his Oxford shirt. My first thought was, ew. My second was, have I ever done that? And did it cause someone else to say ew? My third thought was, do I care? Am I actually slut-shaming Debbie Dunn because she's wearing gloppy mascara? My fourth thought was, when did I start overthinking absolutely everything, and how can I stop? Abruptly, I moved around the Christmas tree, looking for someone else to talk animals with. Andy had been right about one thing. It was hard to second-guess yourself to death when you were trying to come up with a reason for your neighborhood frat boy to say hedgehog or platypus. For now, I steered a wide path around Dash. Later, maybe I would try to get him to say octopus, because that's what Debbie reminded me of. Gah, catty much? There I went again, worrying about the wrong things. Because hell, the girl was practically doing me a favor. If Dash was busy allowing Debbie to slither up his body like a sea creature, he couldn't exactly make any crude comments about me, or my recent performance, to his pals. I should thank her,
I should buy her flowers, because Dash never would. That was for damn sure. He wasn't a fan of romantic shit, he'd said once. And anyway, a few yards from where I stood, Andy was busy talking to Dash's pledge mate, the one they called Ralph.
You're from Chicago, I heard Andy say. How do you like your football team this year?
Crap.
The Bears look pretty good going into the playoffs, Ralph said.
Andy's eyes flicked over to me, and I saw a corner of his mouth turn up in satisfaction. Then, after he and Ralph exchanged a few more words, Andy actually moonwalked backwards a few paces, as if in victory. Now, someone as tall as he was really couldn't moonwalk without making a spectacle of himself, and I saw a few eyebrows lift in his direction, but Andy seemed not to care, and that made me smile. Once upon a time, I'd felt that way too. In high school, I'd found it easy to be the silly one. I had a lot of good friends and a solid standing in the social group of my choice. And were I to have moonwalked, not that I'd ever wanted to, through a party, nobody would have cared. Somehow I'd taken a wrong turn these past few months. I cared too much about the opinions of people who cared too little about me. That was something I was definitely going to mull over later. But right now I had work to do, because Andy was a point ahead of me in our weird little game. And there was never going to be a better time to face the music. So I marched up to stand among the group of fraternity boys, which included Dash, and also Whitaker.
Evening, Katie, Whitaker said.
A little smile played on his lips, making me almost certain that he'd been in on Dash's stupid little prank. Just breathe. Evening, Whitaker, I said. Are you ready for the art history exam? He was one of Dash's football cronies in that class. I used to sit beside them every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I'd felt smug about that, too, as if one seat in that lecture hall was better than another one. It seemed quite ridiculous now. Some other stupid girl could have that seat. Debbie, or a whole team of Debbies. I was done with it.
Still have to memorize all those paintings, Whitaker said.
Yeah, Andy put in.
He slid in behind me and put a hand on my bare shoulder, giving it a gentle squeeze.
I'm taking that course, too, and some of those paintings are a little gruesome. You know, those Renaissance scenes? Especially that one from right after the hunt.
Crap again. I knew where Andy was going with this. The hunt painting had a very dead wild boar in the foreground. But no way he was going to win this thing by getting Whitaker to say boar. It had to be pig. No substitutions. I leaned my shoulders back against him in a silent message. Don't think this will work for you, pal. He gave my shoulder another squeeze, as if to say, don't you wish you'd thought of this? Whitaker scratched his head.
I don't think I know that one yet.
Bummer, Andy said. Add that one to your study list, then.
I tipped my head back on his shoulder so I could see his face. He winked at me, and I had to bite the inside of my cheek to keep from giggling. When I faced forward again, I found Dash watching us, and Whitaker too. Maybe they were wondering why Andy and I kept giving each other significant glances. Or maybe they were remembering exactly how ridiculous I looked during what was supposed to be a private moment. God, I hoped it was the first thing, and not the second thing. Weirdly, though, I didn't care quite as much as I had about an hour ago. So that's something.
Anybody have any good plans for winter vacation? Andy asked.
Sailing in Fiji, Dash bragged.
God, he was such a tool. I can't believe I ever thought he was a catch.
Doing some skiing, Whitaker said.
Yeah?
Andy perked up.
What's your favorite mountain?
We're heading to Utah, Whitaker answered. Gonna hit Alta and Snowbird.
I love Snowbird, Andy agreed, giving my shoulder yet another squeeze.
He would, because now I was down by 2 points. The party would be breaking up soon. My chance for victory would soon be over. I looked around the room, wondering how we were going to fit 50 kids in here tomorrow. I'm glad it's not my job to set this place up in the morning. It's going to be mayhem, right? There was another committee for that. Sororities loved committees. I wasn't due to help out until the party started at 11. Dash shrugged.
I don't think I'm going to make it over here. You girls seem to have it covered. Amy had a checklist and shit.
The hair on the back of my neck stood up, and not because of Dash's dismissal of a party for 50 indigent children, but because I had my Hail Mary idea. It must be really hard to plan parties, I said in a wistful tone. I mean,
Where is Amy going to find all the tables and chairs that we need? Does anyone, like, deliver those things? I felt Andy stop breathing, because he saw where I was going with this. Dash gave another indifferent shrug.
She probably just called a party rental company.
Huh, I said slowly. Like that one with those trucks I see around campus sometimes? Those bright ones with... Take the bait, I prayed. This is for all the marbles.
Yeah,
he drained his beer.
With the pink pigs on him.
Andy's hand closed firmly around my elbow, as if to say, I can't believe you pulled that off. And I gave him a subtle bump with my hip. Take that, tall guy. I felt, rather than saw, the smile that he ducked his head to conceal. When he let out a nearly silent chuff of laughter, his nose grazed my hair, and his breath at the back of my neck gave me goosebumps, in a good way. And through it all, Dash just stood there in front of me, looking half bored and half uncomfortable, worrying the label on his beer bottle. And then Debbie slithered up to him again, plastering herself against his side. She shot me an ornery look.
Welp, I said, turning toward Andy.
I think I'm done here. After I duck into the ladies' room, do you mind if we head out?
Not at all,
he said, spinning the pink basketball on one finger. Back in a jiff, I promised. I crossed the room, which was already beginning to thin out. It was still early, but exam week wasn't the best time to party, even for this crew. And tomorrow the sorority was hosting 50 kids. A hangover would not be welcome in the morning. I crossed through the parlor to the big old bathroom. Like so many buildings at Harkness, it was a blend of old world grandeur, the marble tiles, and awkward 1970s renovations, the creaky metal doors on the toilets. After I took care of business, I emerged from the stall to find Debbie in front of the single tiny mirror, refreshing her lipstick. Washing my hands, I began to feel philosophical. That spot where you're standing, I said to Debbie, is where we usually have elbow jousting matches. Primping is practically a blood sport around here. If I had your face, I wouldn't bother primping, Debbie said in a low voice. I stared down at the paper towel in my hands. On the one hand, I really didn't understand why she'd say that. But we girls put ourselves down often enough, even if we don't usually do it for people who aren't already our friends. I didn't know what to say. But while I struggled to figure it out, Debbie spoke up again. I don't know why he broke up with you either. If you lasted a month, I'll probably last a week.
Whoa! Hey now, I said, hands on my hips. Don't you dare give him all that power. Maybe he doesn't get to decide.
She gave me a sullen glance. Of course he does. They already have the power. Debbie. She turned to me, her eyes dark. He isn't worth it, okay? Go out with him if you want, or not, but treat yourself right, because he's not going to look out for you. She gave me a little eye roll. Everybody gets dumped, Katie. Even you. But I didn't. I broke up with him. Sure you did, she said immediately. Her words had dismissed me, but her eyes were interested. I did, and then he decided to teach me a little lesson. How? She whispered, unable to hide her curiosity. I was stupid. I fooled around with him one more time. God, I didn't want to say this next part out loud, but she deserved to know what she was getting herself into. Without my knowledge, he let some people watch. Her eyebrows shot straight up, disappearing into her bangs. Like, through a hole in the door? Kill me now. I really was the only naive idiot left on this campus, wasn't I? Slowly, I nodded. That is so wrong, she hissed. You think? She stuffed makeup products back into her clutch purse. You know, fuck it. I'm just going to sneak out and go home. He's been giving me a not-so-nice vibe all night, and that is just too much. She jammed the bag under her arm. Good night. Without another word, she stormed out of the bathroom. Then it was just me alone with the little mirror, and I felt an instinctual pull to go over to it and check my makeup. Because you never know when your eyeliner is smeared. No, I coach myself. Andy's waiting, and he doesn't care about your stupid makeup. I pushed open the bathroom door and went to find him.
Chapter 7. Andy. When Katie departed for the bathroom, it left me standing there with Dash and his thick-necked pals. I'd had enough to drink, so instead of reaching for another beer, I began to noodle around with the outrageous pink basketball I'd been carrying around. I rolled it up the back of my hand and along my arm, then I dribbled it a couple of times on the old wooden floor beneath me.
Nice ball you got there, Dash muttered. Is your team switching teams this season?
A gay joke from a frat guy?
Shocker.
You know, it's not nice to make fun of a guy's balls, I quipped. Nothing he could say right now could ruin my mood. I still wouldn't have minded landing a punch right in the middle of his smirk, but I wasn't going to do it, because fighting Dash and his crew was a pretty bad idea, one which would surely mess up the plan I had to walk Katie home and ask her out. Eyes on the prize and all. Ignoring Dash, I toyed with the ball, spinning it on my finger and dribbling through my legs. This always relaxed me. Whenever I was stressed out about something, I took the ball in my hands and began to calm down. Still, I could feel him watching me. Maybe he thought I was showing off, but it wasn't really like that. If I wanted to show off, I'd do these tricks twice as fast. I was just taking things nice and easy, letting the ball slide off my palms, feeling the satisfying bounce of rubber against wood and then skin.
Pass,
Dash said. Really, dude? You have to get competitive? Maybe he didn't enjoy the fact that I was friendly with his ex-girlfriend. What a tool. I passed him the ball. He palmed it, then bent his knees to execute a couple behind-the-back bounces, then once under the knee, and then he bounced it back to me. You want to show off? Fine. For the next 15 seconds, I gave it to him. Bang, bang under one leg, followed by a scissor cross, a few strokes of walking the dog, and then a quick bounce back to him. He fumbled it, which made me irrationally happy. Then he did a little handiwork with a triangle dribble around his right leg, and I'd bet money he couldn't do his left, before a fake and a snap back to me. The fake and the snap were exactly what I'd thought he'd do, so I took that ball as if I'd been waiting for it all my life. Slowing it down, I dribbled around my body a few times, spinning it on a fingertip after that. Stay ready, I warned him. He lifted a brow, irritated that I'd warn him like that, as if he were a bumbler, even if he was. I dropped the ball low in front of me, pounding the dribble for 4 or 5 strokes. Then I let go. The ball ricocheted up and straight into Dash's crotch. 3-pointer, so to speak. Oomph! The guy groaned, catching the ball and bending over in the time-honored position of a guy whose eggs had just been scrambled. It took all my effort not to laugh. Ouch, I said. You ass, Dash muttered, and when he straightened up, his face was red with anger. My heart rate kicked up a couple of points, but I held his gaze. That hurts, right? When you think you've signed up for a simple game of one-on-one, but then it turns out that someone else had different plans for you? His face did something interesting then. It locked up tight in surprise, and then guilt crossed his features. His mouth sagged, and his eyes looked away from me. He swallowed uncomfortably. You can call me an ass if it makes you feel better, I said in a low voice, but you leave Katie alone. Dash didn't acknowledge me. He just set the ridiculous pink basketball down on a wicker chair and then picked up a sport coat that had been lying over the back of it. You get me? I pressed. That's when I heard the sound of high heels tapping toward me. Hey, Katie said, skidding up to me. Sorry about that. I got caught up chatting in the bathroom. No problem. I turned to give her my full attention and was basically walloped all over again by how attractive she was. Her silky hair slid over her bare shoulders as she moved, and those kissable lips gave me a little smile. Are you ready to head out? I asked, hoping the answer was yes.
Sure, we can grab my coat on the way.
A frat brother nudged Dash, whose face was still red and ornery.
Let's hit it, bro,
he said. Dash cleared his throat.
I was waiting for Debbie. She might still be in the bathroom.
Katie paused, her hand grabbing mine.
She left,
she told Dash.
What?
Katie's grin took on a devilish glint.
She said she had more important places to be, or something like that. Good night.
She gave my hand a little tug, and we left the room together. Part 2. Chapter 8. Andy. When Katie had put her coat on, she'd had to drop my hand. Now that we were walking along the sidewalk together, I wanted it back.
Your only real problem is confidence, my sister had said. What would a confident guy do in this situation?
As casually as I could, I reached over and took Katie's smooth hand in mine. She laced her fingers in mine, just like that.
Huh. Thank you, Delia.
Your game saved me tonight, Katie said.
But what on earth inspired it?
I said, as my thumb skimmed her palm. During the summer, I work at a boys' sleepaway camp in the White Mountains, and we're always having to think up games to keep them from fighting with each other before dinner time.
So you counseled me, like one of your 9-year-old campers?
She was smiling again, which I loved.
Well, they're 12, but yeah.
Maybe I was a sap, but tonight I felt truly connected to someone for the first time in a long while. Katie might not remember this night, except as a blip on her way toward feeling better about the shitty thing that happened to her. But I wasn't going to forget it anytime soon.
So you know my tale of woe, she said. What's your story? No girlfriend, I guess?
Not at the moment, I said, because it sounded smoother than, my dry spell is as vast as the Sahara. I've dated 2 girls at Harkness, one my frosh year and one last year. But, I chuckled because my tale of woe was more funny than sad. Turns out I wasn't a good match for either girl.
Bad breakups? She guessed.
Nope. I'm still friends with both of them, actually.
But you got your heart broken?
Not exactly. There wasn't a whole lot of spark there in the first place. That was the problem. Both of my ex-girlfriends decided, right after dating me, that they would rather be with women. I watched Katie's face as she took that in, waiting for the inevitable reaction. Her eyes flicked toward mine, and she bit her lip, trying to fight off her amusement. Those pretty eyes were sparkling now. Go ahead, I told her. You can laugh. Everyone else does.
Oh, Andy, she giggled. Both of them?
Yep. Her giggle became an unruly belly laugh, and we had to stop on the sidewalk while she pulled herself together. She took a deep, gasping breath and wiped her eyes.
You know, that had nothing to do with you, right?
She said eventually.
You didn't turn those girls gay.
Yeah, I know it. But my friends are pretty amused anyway.
Both girls?
She tittered. Yep. We had almost arrived at Fresh Court, and the inevitable end of the night. This was the moment when I had to screw up my courage and ask her if we could go out again sometime. But how to phrase it? Some guys were smooth and could ask for anything. I was not one of them.
Wait.
Katie tugged on my hand just as we were about to walk underneath the Fresh Court gate.
Are you going to copy the art history notes for me?
I paused. Did she mean tonight? Anytime. My printer makes copies.
Can I get them now? The test is only 3 days away.
Well, sure. I changed direction, steering us toward Beaumont. Katie's fingers gave mine a squeeze, which I returned. That little exchange made me ridiculously, irrationally happy. I walked on as if it were the most ordinary thing in the world to have Katie Vickery stop by my room. But inside, I was dancing a jig. Calm down, idiot, I chided myself. The girl is just very serious about her art history exam. Even at the pace of someone walking on high heels, the trip from the gate to my entryway only took a few minutes. But that was plenty of time to fret about the condition of my room. For once, I'd made the bed.
Yes!
I'd straightened it out anyway, because I needed a surface on which to lay the evidence of my not very masculine fashion crisis. Wait, I'd picked all those clothes up afterwards, right? Uh-oh. This was going to be bad. But it was too late to worry, because we were already arriving at my entryway stairs. Katie followed me up to the second floor, where I unlocked the door. Peering into the room, I gave a split-second prayer that either things weren't as bad as I remembered, or else elves had come by to tidy up while I was gone. No such luck. The bed was covered with my clothes. Stepping into my room behind me, my date laughed.
Looks just like my room.
I was in kind of a hurry, I said lamely.
See, that's what I tell Scarlett when she complains about the mess. But apparently I'm always in a hurry.
Embarrassed, I went over to the desk to find my history of art notebook. Flipping through the pages, I said, "The review lecture took me 6 pages, but it will only take a couple of minutes to copy."
"No rush,"
she said, sitting down in my desk chair, which was mercifully clean.
"No rush,"
my brain repeated, listening for clues.
"Stop,"
I ordered myself. "Don't fuck this up. Give the girl her notes, walk her home, ask her out, and count your blessings."
Chapter 9. Katie. I watched Andy fumble with his printer. While it warmed up, he moved over to the bed and grabbed an armload of clothes. Most of them were shirts, still on their hangers. These he ferried to the closet, jamming them onto the bar and shutting the door. If another guy did that, I would assume that he was trying to clear off the bed in order to steer me onto it. But Andy didn't give off that, "Hey, baby, come upstairs to see my trophies" vibe. And it was refreshing. I was so done with guys who had big expectations and very little gratitude. In contrast, Andy reminded me a bit of a chocolate lab puppy, cute and clumsy. He even had big puppy feet. As I watched him frowning over his art history notebook, I found myself wondering what it would be like to kiss him. Tonight it had dawned on me that I'd approached the dating scene at Harkness all wrong. Someone like Andy, who didn't carry himself like God's natural gift to women, probably had a whole lot of untapped passion. Now, conventional wisdom said that confidence was a turn-on. And that was true, but only up to a point, because confidence implied experience, and I was learning that experience wasn't all it was cracked up to be. Both my football players had plenty of experience, but neither one had ever made me feel as if our moments together were truly special, except for that last night with Dash. That was the only time he ever convinced me that I made a difference, and that had turned out to be a big fat lie. Ugh, it's just sex, I reminded myself. But I liked sex, and I'd often enjoyed it with him. Both of my football players had had beautiful bodies and plentiful stamina. In fact, if someone had asked me to draw a picture of the kind of guy I thought I wanted, I would have ended up with a likeness of them. But it hadn't been enough, had it? Andy handed me the first page of notes, still warm from the printer. "Have a look at this, and tell me if any of the handwriting is inscrutable," he said. I scanned the page. Each painting's title was listed carefully, along with its artist, approximate date of creation, and sometimes the materials used. He leaned over my shoulder, and for a weird moment I wondered if he was looking down my dress. And I kind of hoped he was. Judge me, if you will. But no, his long fingers touched the page in front of me. "Wherever I didn't write down the materials, that's because it was oil on canvas," he said. "There are a lot of those. And I may have misspelled Caravaggio. That's kind of embarrassing." "No, that's right," I said. "One R and 2 G's. He flashed me a smile that said friendly more than it said do me. Then he went over to flip the notebook around in the printer. "Good thing." When I received the second sheet, I found a little drawing in the corner. "What's this?" Andy sat down on the bed and folded his long arms onto his knees.